Republican Tim Reid is running for re-election to the South Dakota House of Representatives. He has represented District 7 since 2017. He would like to continue working for the citizens of Brookings by using his nearly two decades of experience in public service and government, including being mayor for 8 years. And Tim Reid joins us now on the phone. Tim, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Lori. Lori, good morning.
Let's talk a little bit about what some of those top issues are for you. Where do you want to begin?
Well, of course, you know, coming into the next session, and if, you know, what we're dealing with right now will be COVID, you know, and how we're going to handle it. I think there's going to have to be some work done to make sure, you know, that our economy survives through the pandemic. And what can we do to help the economy and help those folks that have been less fortunate because of COVID and how it's affected jobs. And some people are having to stay home to teach their students. I see there's still school systems that are having to, you know, shut down whole classes and sometimes the whole school. That even though they've gotten started, they've had to shut down because of COVID. So I think those are the kind of things that we're really going to have to be looking at, is how do we recover from this?
Yeah, we can't, we're not going to shake it off that easily. And even if we do shake off the actual virus and get to a point of mass vaccinations or what have you, the residual impact of what is happening to us this year, to our economy and to people's lives, we're going to be feeling for a long time to come. And you've got a lot of experience in public service, and I'm just wondering, like, how do you remain informed by this kind of disruption 6 months from now, 2 years from now? Like, what have you learned in your public service in the past that gives you some kind of hint of what we need to be paying attention to right now that we're going to see the residual effects of 5 years from now?
One of the major things we have to be looking at is in our school systems and how the students are doing. And, you know, because when they get through the school system, so they may be, you know, in K-12 right now in that area, or, you know, even in elementary, you go down there. And how do they get too far behind? You know, are they able to make it all the way through to graduation? What kind of remedial things are we going to have to do? So I think it's going to be important to keep taking a look at, you know, our graduation, you know, out of K-12 and, you know, graduation rates and the ACTs and things like that. I think we just need to strive to make sure that we get back to normal there and whatever it takes. And then again, we have to look at the workforce. What's going to happen with those students that are coming out, to make sure that they're capable for what we need for the workforce. And then that continues on to our secondary schools, you know, that includes our technical colleges and also the university system, to make sure students, when they come there, they're able to, you know, complete their degrees in 4 years and able to, you know, go into the workforce. So when you look long term, I think it really has to do with, for the economy, is the workforce.
Yeah. And we're also hearing a lot about, you know, when kids aren't in school, there's fewer things that get reported from a child abuse standpoint. And you have done a lot of work with victims of sexual assault in the past. Tell me a little bit about your previous work there and where you see the work left to be done being.
Well, sure. I had done quite a bit of work, especially with sexual assault nurse examiners, you know, looking around rape kits and how the examinations are done. I've done work to make sure the victims don't pay, you know, for the sexual assault forensic examination. That's something we got done a couple years ago. And then last year, or over the past couple years, we've made sure that those kits are actually, instead of being stored in hospitals, the ones that are anonymous, the ones that the victim may not be ready to report, that they're actually stored with law enforcement before they were stored at hospitals. And you need to have a good, you know, trail of evidence to make sure that evidence can be used. So we made sure those were stored with law enforcement. And then just last year, we made sure those anonymous kits could be stored, you know, for at least 7 years if someone wanted to come forward after. Right now, or before July 1st, it was just 1 year. And now we've moved that to 7 years. So if someone has, you know, recovered from the incident or is recovering from the incident and decides that they do want to prosecute, that kit will still be there. So the evidence is still there and they're able to go through with the prosecution. Also worked on assault examinations for minors. A sexual assault forensic examination was considered a medical procedure. And for medical procedures, if you were under 18, you had to have a guardian allow you to have the procedure. And what we did is we moved that down to 16. And so someone that's 16 years or older can now say that, yes, I want a sexual assault examination. And so that I think that's a real good thing, because there are rapes that happen, you know, under the age of 18, and there's sometimes where parents may not want their child for what, you know, either where they may have a reason behind it, but that child still deserves to have that sexual assault examination get done if the evidence collected. And then we also wanted to make sure that someone with a disability, a mental disability, could, if they understood what a sexual assault examination was, they understood what happened to them, why they were there, and what the examination was going to entail, that they should also be able to consent to having the sexual assault examination. And so we got a bill together that we passed last year that anybody that's a protected person, so they may be under the protection or have a guardian, the guardian does not have to consent. The person with a disability, as long as they understand what's going on, they can consent to having the kit done. And that way, too, if either the parent in that first case I talked about, or the guardian is involved in, you know, could be the perpetrator of the sexual assault, that person doesn't have the ability to get in the way for the evidence to be collected. Going forward, I think we need to continue to work on our rape statutes. It's something that I hope to do in the next session, that, you know, defining consent. We really have to make sure that if there really isn't consent given for sex, that our laws are in good shape so our prosecutors and prosecute those cases. And so that's something that we'll be working on for the next session.
Why does this matter to you? Why does this topic matter? Some of these things seem like, you know, I want to sit back and say, well, that wasn't already the law. So, I mean, when looking deeply at the laws in South Dakota and realizing that there are flaws and that victims do not, that victims need more, you know, more protection and more justice. Why do you care?
You know, this was a case that I got started in this, where a sexual assault nurse examiner came to me and said, Tim, look at this problem. You know, I know of victims who've had to pay for their rape kit, and so they'll get a bill afterwards. And how sad that is, that someone actually gets a bill. They've gone through a traumatic situation, you know, they've been victimized, and then they get a bill for it. And so that's really what got me involved on it. And then as I started working with all the great advocates that are out there, I work quite a bit with the South Dakota Network Against Family Violence and Sexual Assault. And I work with all these great advocates out there that are just continuing to help people and then run into issues. And so those issues are coming back to me, and I just really like helping them, you know, to be able to help those victims. I also enjoy working with prosecutors when they have issues and they're not able to bring justice, to help them so they can bring justice. And so it's a lot about helping those that are really in the trenches doing the hard work. And working with victims to make sure those victims get justice.
I think it's another good point for people to reach out to your local lawmakers and tell them the stories that are how those laws are impacting your lives. Republican Tim Reed running for re-election to South Dakota House of Representatives from District 7. Tim, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome.